He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
And yes, it is. And Jill, we want to start with you this morning because you sent us an email about New York cars.
It's called the Vroom Boom, the Great Gotham Vroom Boom of 2020, which I thought was pretty hilarious. So there you go.
Okay. Did you have any comments of your own about it before we chime in?
How quickly they forget was my comments.
How quickly they forget. That's a good point. Absolutely.
Remember, because we weren't going to be driving at all.
No, we weren't.
People this age were not going to be driving.
Mass transit.
Right.
And now we're not doing that. And so cars or vehicles or some kind of alternative form of transportation allowing for individual driving and not being with other people in the vehicle, presumably not too many at any rate, is what I think some of that article is about.
And the rest of the article was about how people are driving now. Suddenly, and this is obviously reflected, as we've discussed before, in used car sales, et cetera. But whereas a car was considered just the worst albatross ever, it's now a symbol of freedom. And even people who don't know how to drive are learning.
No question about it. We've seen it up in our broadcast area as well. I've never seen so many vehicles come back onto the road, but the interesting thing about the mix of the vehicles is that I think a lot of people who have homes outside the urban environment and have garages in which they have mainly been probably keeping some cars, older cars or whatever, there for fun use, we're using them in spades, I would say, around our corner much of the summer.
Probably because they had more family.
Some of the older vehicles come back onto the road that I hadn't seen in a long time. We used to have them come out for Memorial Day weekends and maybe July 4th, but they have been omnipresent as long as the people have been up in the homes.
Well, also, Robin, people have had families up, so suddenly one car doesn't do it the way that it did for a weekender. I mean, there's been a whole shift, and that is... No pun intended, and that is part of why I sent this along. Jay, did you have a view about it or no?
I have several views. One, the first thing is obviously people are shying away from public transportation, and there's a return to the personal car. And the question is that going to last? And I think the article talked about the fact that people in the city were basically buying cars to get out of the city. It is not a means of transportation within the city, and hopefully that is the case, because I think the trend of going to fewer cars in the city, whether it's in New York or in other major cities in the world, is a trend that we have to keep putting forward. But yes, people are getting cars to get out of the city, and a bunch of people from the city are coming in to the tri-state corner here, this tri-state area. And my question is there a future for companies like Zipcar with car sharing models? Can the car rental companies reinvent themselves to better service that need for people to get out pretty much on weekends, unless they're making a permanent move out of the city?
And let me jump in a little bit and apply that concept and that thought to usage of those cars, because let's go to the golf courses, which have golf carts. The golf courses who have golf carts for golfers to go around on have a mandate that when you come in from playing X number of holes of golf and you're finished with your cart, it has to go and be thoroughly cleaned. The question for me, Jay, and that comment is about zip cars and the like, are they having to start up a cleaning car service for when a zip car gets returned from use? Is it going to end up being visited by a cleaning service before the next user comes in?
I'm going to answer that simply by saying, of course, and they're going to use the same modeling, quote, that they used for doing car services during the pandemic. And see, I mean, this is a piece of cake. This is already pre-solved. So
okay,
I would just be curious though for the whole ride share, the whole ride share, etc. Again, my favorite words, space. How is that? If you are sitting in an Uber with six people you don't know, how is that any more pandemic conducive than sitting on a train? And this, by the way, is for people who
don't know. But on the golf cart level, if you have golfers, each golfer individual has to have his own cart. He cannot ride in tandem with somebody else.
Right.
In the golf cart, and they generally hold two when there isn't a pandemic issue or a social distance issue going on. So
I think that you know, ride shares like Uber or Lyft or any quote unquote taxi is a risk. Getting in a closed confined environment with other people and strangers increases your risk, and we're uneasy. I'm uneasy to do that during this pandemic. I think it is probably ride sharing versus public transportation. I don't know that one is safer or I feel more comfortable with than the other. You know, and that's again why people are going out and buying cars. And they just
Jay, to your point and your business of driving people to airport, do you have a rule in effect that you're not doing it right now, or do you take one person only and they ride in the back seat, or how have you got how are you regulating your driving business?
There's no rule. I'm just very careful in who I get in the car with. I don't like being in a close space with other people. Period.
Right, and I think that a lot of people.
At one time, you were using other people's cars, not yours. Have you stuck to using yours only now because you know it's clean?
I'm a clean freak. I clean other people's car if I'm going to drive other people's cars before and after. Okay. But I've always done that, so there's really nothing new here.
Nothing new for you. Okay.
But so, you know, the other thing that back to that article in the New York Times, I think the other somewhat scary thing is there were, you know, interviews of a bunch of people who were getting back behind the wheel after 10, 20, 30 years of not driving. These people still hold driver's licenses, and all of a sudden they're going to be driving on the highways between the city and wherever they go, whether it's, you know, on 684 or the Taconic Parkway to come up here. And you just have to wonder how I was just thinking about that now, how smart or safe that is.
It's too early for the safety. It's too early for the safety part of the show. What I do want to say, though, also in that article, which should make Robin really happy, is the person who has a consulting firm, quote, which helps guide hapless, often first-time car buyers like me and two others I spoke with through the car buying process for $500 to $1,000. Advice on picking the right model, getting a fair price. And, I mean,
that person had sold 30 cars in July.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about that one,
and that just makes me want to weep because or open a car keys consulting firm, because what Robin has done for friendship over the years now looks like a profitable business.
Well, it is, and I've been, you know, we. You know, because we're passionate about cars, and people come up to us and ask us for advice. And just this past weekend, one of my neighbors is in the market for a new. You know, he knows what he wants. He wants a Toyota 4Runner, and you know, his initial thought was to go the certified pre-owned route, and finally gave up and came back and said, you know what, I'm just going to buy it new. The price difference is not enough for him to warrant the effort of scouting and you know, the cars he had found that were meeting his needs and what he wanted to have as packages. You know, we're down in the southern part of the country. You know, we're down in Georgia, and so you know, it now means traveling to get the car. And at the end of the day, it's time and money spent finding the right car, and if there isn't that 30% difference in price between a CPO and a new car, then just go out and buy a new car, which is what he did.
And to that point, you mentioned, Jay, I don't know, that certain lines of cars obviously hold their resale value better once becoming from new to used than other lines of cars. And that goes a long way to the 30% difference that you were just bringing up. And I remember when, well, you shopped Subarus for a long time, and you would go to a Subaru dealer and look at the used car lot for the same model that was the new, and there was a surprisingly little difference, at least
exactly.
on the sticker prices, yep. between, let's say, an under 3-year used vehicle in the Subaru line, or maybe even another car maker that has good resale value. And as your friend is doing, he's going new instead of buying the pre-loved version or the pre-owned version. Even though the pre-owned usually come with considerably more mileage rating, used car warranty, certified pre-owned type of situation. But these cars are so reliable today, which I think, Jay, we've been mentioning off and on the show, that short of getting one with some production part that was not up to snuff, so to speak, and made it by quality control, most of the cars today are going to go mechanically 100,000, 200,000 miles with maybe brake replacements needed, a wheel bearing or a front, you know, universal joint or something once in a while. But they're not going to break down the way they used to do it 100 years ago or 70 years ago or whatever. And so whether you buy pre-owned or new, short of knowing what the difference is going to be once you drive a new car off the lot and it becomes used 1 mile down the road, it makes sense to know what the value of a new car is going to do in dropping in resale value once it becomes used versus a pre-owned situation. So I don't know how many people want to take the time to do that. As you mentioned, Jay, you take the time. It takes time to go shopping for cars. And boy, once you step in a dealer lot and actually engage a salesperson, as we have said before in this show, they don't want to let you out of there to go to a competing dealer if they can avoid it. As a friend of mine recently found out in a Hyundai dealership, and after starting out with supposedly their best deal and the buyer was going to walk away and go down the road to another model, they came out and said, what do we need to do to make your deal? And the guy said, you need to make a monthly payment of XYZ dollars. And you know what? They did. And I don't know how much it saved them over what the dealer had been offering prior to that, but the dealer didn't want them off the lot. And that goes for anybody going to a car dealership today and thinking about trying to go comparo test vehicles.
Well, car dealerships, I think, is still the reason Tesla, and I'm going on a tangent here, but I think Tesla. I was reading about maintenance of cars, and actually started out reading about new electric vehicles about to compete with Tesla, and in the GM family of brands, Cadillac is going to be the brand that is going to really push towards having a fully electric line of vehicles, which you have to wonder why they had a Chevy Bolt for 5 years before they decided to do that. But the fact of the matter is now they're training dealerships to learn the differences, sales staff, differences between gasoline-powered cars and electric cars, and they have to retool shops. And there's just this big change that has to happen in dealerships. And so that got me going, saying, well, there are no Tesla dealerships, and, how do you service a Tesla? And then you go to Tesla's websites and all the sites that, talk about Tesla maintenance, and you realize that there really is very, very little maintenance to these cars. And actually, Tesla has dropped its annual not mandatory, but recommended service plan. And
well, so, we know, yeah. And what did you say? Three categories of parts in a Tesla: motors, bearings, brakes, and that's about it.
Filters, AC.
Window mechanisms, maybe.
AC, brake lines, brake fluids, and that's it, and tires. And really, you don't need to brake much with a Tesla if you get off the power. You can slow the car down without any brakes, and there are models of we've talked about this, companies out there that have gone 400,000 or 500,000 miles with Teslas in fleet situations, and there really is not a lot of maintenance to do. So we're back to I
just need to interrupt, though, for one second on that, going back to what we were talking about earlier. Some of the people featured in that particular article were getting, I'm only going back to it because of this, that I think they bought a 1987 Mercedes. So, you know, I am curious about how many of these new buyers who are just not in the, are not remotely car savvy. I'm talking about here in this particular region. I'm not talking about in California or Florida.
Yeah.
Go say to themselves, oh, wow, all right, I got to do this, and I got to do this electric. That's
not
my curiosity.
Not very many.
Right. Well, I don't know if that's, Jay, is that your...
California, I would say in this area, you qualify.
I did, no, and I mean it. I'm just wondering if Jay concurs, because I think you have to be a certain level of savvy, and if you are unsavvy enough to pay somebody random $1,000 to tell you what to buy, I don't see that that's conducive necessarily to doing your research and finding out what you can should do.
Well, knowledge in buying used cars is a delicate situation to talk about, because some people have just $1,000 not to hire somebody to advise them, just to buy a car. And that's when you go driving around and you see for sale signs in property lots of $500 for this car. The question is, what are you getting for $500? And that's when...
You're getting guidance. You're getting guidance.
What?
You are getting guidance for what you should buy. And it's first time. It's not just used. This person is doing for a grand, between $500 and $1,000, what you have done for free your entire life. I'm just saying. In other words, somebody says, "I want thus and such. I don't know what to do. I'm hopeless," and that is. In the hands of someone who is turning that into a profit-making venture, not necessarily, again, conducive. It's more conducive to, all right, we're going to get you a this and this, than it is, all right, I'm going to match your needs with the.
Well, I think it's a pretty. I mean, back to that person in that article who's doing that. I think it's a smart business model.
Oh, yeah.
There are people who are willing to pay $500 to not have to deal with all the hassle of the research, of the process of buying the car, and you're right. Robin and I have done it for free for a while, and we may need to
rethink
our fee schedules.
That's right, because it's going to be the Car Keys business model, the Car Keys nonprofit. For a donation, we will no. But it's interesting that there are people, and this is worth understanding for anyone who does it, who know what they don't know, and also know that there is so much out there that trying to navigate through it is going to be more time consuming than they could possibly allot to it, simply because you don't know what you don't know, and once you get into that, it's helpful.
And this is why I think that car companies are just going deeper and deeper in multiplying models and multiplying the number of trim levels, multiplying the number of engines for a particular model. It's just crazy. I mean, and I go back
wrong direction to do it.
And I'm not trying to drink the. I'm not drinking the Tesla Kool-Aid per se. But if you want to buy a Tesla and you go to the Tesla website, you will buy your car in 5 minutes' time. If you know what color you want, and you know if you need the extra range or not, and it, you pay a little more money for that, it's a 5 minute process, and that's it. And that's why it works. It's part of the reason of their success, in my opinion.
Well, there's also not negotiation on Tesla, I don't think, either. You've got you have a sticker price, plus you've got the long-range version versus the sport version versus the normal version.
Well, let's talk about
you
negotiation.
You have a ludicrous mode and this and that.
Back to, you know, shopping for cars, and recently I have helped people shop for cars. If you do your research online and you find a car... if you use the Auto Traders, Car Gurus, whatever the website is, these portals that pretty much use the same that share the same data, or they get fed the same data, If you search for good prices on those sites, you will probably not be able to negotiate the price of the lower priced vehicles. And when you walk, and I've had that experience, you walk in a dealership for a particular vehicle, and the sales guy comes up to you right away, has a printed sheet before you walk in with the 10 other cars in the 100-mile radius, and they're all $2,000 or $3,000 more expensive. Your bargaining power has really gone down, and you de facto know that the price of the car is pretty much where it should be. And that makes it easy.
Good point.
Yes, but I think too small a portion of car buyers are probably savvy enough to understand that part of it. And
some people, just glaze, and you know, I'm one of them.
When you get to the year-end model sales that are starting now as we speak, and it's going to be interesting to see how they do with the football stadiums empty of people and that kind of thing. When you see the pickup truck, big sales for pickup trucks, and you see $10,000 off a particular model, you know that model is laden with options because they're, in effect, basically throwing in a whole bunch of options for that $10,000 off offer, as opposed to the baseline vehicle price, which may be $20,000 below that without any options at all, and you can't expect them to sell that particular model for $10,000 off. So
what does it tell you? If somebody's willing to slash their price by $10,000, that means they were willing to rip you off
I just
in the final 2 minutes I just want to say something. It's Jay's safety tip time, but this is a subject near and dear to everyone's hearts. The light is changing, and I have seen all week long driving people who are either walking their dogs or cycling or e-biking that don't seem to be aware that of shadows,
invisible.
And that they are invisible, and they are not wearing clothing that is conducive to being visible. So I would just say to everybody, hey, you just never know what's around that corner and what angle the sun is, and it's not mid-June anymore, and, you know, be careful.
Oh, you're right, to the point I noticed last night at 10 after 8, it was relatively dark where I've been. Where it's been light up to 9 o'clock a month ago. And we're losing anywhere between 1 and 3 minutes of daylight daily. And to your point, Jill, this show should be probably dedicated to walkers, and I hope walkers are listening, because you walkers are really putting yourself at risk wearing the garb that we see you wear on the road. Not to mention where I am, there are more walkers walking on the wrong side of the road that is not facing the oncoming traffic lane than there are walking in the proper lane of facing the traffic coming. And I keep thinking when you've got bicyclists on the road and walkers on the road, and some of them have dogs on leashes, and they're all sort of wandering outside of the so-called safety lane, if it is even so marked. Many of these people are putting themselves at extreme risk with the drivers coming down the road who cannot see you as far as 500 feet away easily, if at all, at certain light situations that are now descending upon us at 8 o'clock, and it's soon going to be 7 o'clock.
So and just so a quick, if I may interject, on another note and to finish off, it was the Indy 500 yesterday that was run with no spectators versus usually almost 500,000 spectators in the grandstands. And it was a good race, and there were two crashes in that race where, had those accidents out of turn four, both of them, if those accidents had happened, a few years ago, both drivers would have been killed. And my point is only that car safety has, through racing and among other things, has increased significantly over the last few years. So newer cars are always better.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.